Good morning, Bridgepoint. I want to welcome all of our campuses, Clearwater, Seminole, Downtown, Tyrone Campus. They are here. And of course, those of you watching online, welcome to church, everyone. We are concluding our series called Powernoia today. This series has been so helpful and meaningful for us to go through as a staff. It's been such a fun and powerful series for us as a whole church, adults and students, the last several weeks discussing how we can live lives with a full battery. In fact, just a little recap here. Week one, we talked about Jesus' invitation to experience rest in him and that pride and rest cannot coexist. Second week, we experienced and talked about how we can experience Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is the peace we feel when we trust that Jesus just wants to walk with us and pull our weight for us. And last week, Tyler did a great job talking about how God often speaks in the whisper, that he does not make a habit of competing over the noise in our lives, but instead wants to make it personal as he communicates to us. And today's message is called Battery Health. Because today we're discussing the thing, or should I say person, who makes all of this happen. See, powernoia is the anxiety you feel when the battery of your respective digital device is running low. And that's symbolic of the battery of our soul. When the battery of our soul seems to be running low, restless, burnt out, operating from a place of fatigue and stress rather than peace. And so maybe you've been here the last few weeks and paying attention to the message, and you have been trying to experience rest, but you're still restless. You've been trying to discover peace, and it's just not really happening. Well, it's vital to know today that the antidote to powernoia, that restlessness, that fatigue, that stress, that burnout, the antidote to powernoia is the Holy Spirit. The antidote to powernoia is the Holy Spirit. How do we move from a life of powernoia to being power-filled? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person, he gives us the full power and presence of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the full power and presence of God. He serves as the battery that powers our spiritual life. He's the battery that powers our spiritual life. Maybe you're here today and you feel distant from God. Maybe you feel like there's some kind of cosmic abyss that exists between you and him. Maybe you feel like your life is some kind of snow globe that God took and shook and allowed all the pieces of your life to fall wherever they might, but all the while keeping a distant eye on your life. Maybe you feel like God hasn't broken through that glass and entered your globe. Maybe when you lie down at night and you think about God, you often picture him looking down upon you, and rarely ever do you actually picture him residing within you. Many of us might believe fully that through the Holy Spirit, God is with us, but maybe we've forgotten just how much he's with us. But the Holy Spirit gives us the full power and presence of God. He is the battery that powers our spiritual life. Now, to shoot straight from the hip here, few things are more confusing or weird people out as much as when talking about the Holy Spirit. Maybe when you think about the Holy Spirit, you think about some happy-go-lucky character like Mickey Mouse or Casper the Ghost. Maybe you feel like the Holy Spirit is some kind of magical substance like Jesus' version of pixie dust. Maybe you feel like the Holy Spirit is some kind of impersonal energy, but the Holy Spirit is a person, and he can be naturally confusing because, well, he is supernatural. As a follower of Jesus, and as someone who has gone through the experiences of even Bible college and seminary, I'll be one of the first to admit that I am very accustomed to thinking and hearing about God the Father and His glory, right? God the Son, Jesus, and His victory. But the Holy Spirit, I have spent many years in my spiritual life where the Holy Spirit was the first person for me to forget when it comes to the intimacy of God that He brings. An intimacy of God, the presence of God that is real, a presence that you can feel. The moment you or I put our faith in Jesus, we receive the Spirit of God that is permanent. But that doesn't mean that we know how to interact with Him. And don't think that I'm some expert on understanding the Holy Spirit. I am your classic steak, sports, and beverages guy. But here's what I have learned about the Holy Spirit. A relationship with God without the Holy Spirit is a relationship that is stale and lifeless. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. A relationship with God without the Holy Spirit is a relationship that's based merely on knowledge and obedience, and it's a relationship that is stale and lifeless. Jesus died on the cross so that we could receive His Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the full presence and power of God. In fact, we can't have a relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. That would be like having a battery ripped out of your digital device. He is the battery that powers our spiritual life. You know, if any of us think that the person of the Holy Spirit could be a little confusing from time to time, can you imagine being the original audience, one of the 12 disciples, the boys, hearing about the person of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Himself for one of the very first times? In John chapter 14, Jesus is having a crucial conversation with the boys, the original 12 disciples. He knows that the next night He's going to be killed, so He's having a crucial conversation with them, just like you'd have a crucial conversation with your people if you knew you're going to be killed the next night. He's talking to them about all kinds of things. It's been a long dinner. They've hung out for a while. I imagine them kind of around the campfire and trying to process what Jesus is saying. And when it comes to understanding the Holy Spirit and like they're hearing about Him for the first time, I mean, it has to be overwhelming. You can almost feel bad for the guys, kind of like someone trying to understand Common Core for the first time. Okay, let's look at the Bible. So, Jesus says this, "If you love Me, keep My commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in My Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you." And holy cow, what a riddle. I'm exhausted. It's a mouthful. What is Jesus talking about? I don't know how the disciples processed this information the first time they heard it. But I know what didn't happen. They didn't look at each other and be like, "Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Hey, let's ask Him some questions about the end times." What is Jesus talking about? You see, we've had over 2,000 years to digest these words from Jesus. Right, so based upon these verses, here's what we know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of God. In this crucial conversation that Jesus is having with His boys, He's explaining, "Hey guys, I'm on My way out. I am leaving you, but someone else is coming in to fill My shoes or sandals or whatever," right? And so He says this, "I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." He then says the Spirit of Truth. The word advocate could be translated many different ways. All right, but in its essence, Jesus is using a basic Greek word here called paraclete. Paraclete, one who was called alongside to enable, one who is called alongside to enable. So if you kind of took that and paraphrased Jesus' words to the disciples that night, he's saying this: I will ask the Father, and he will give you another enabler to help you. I will ask the Father, and he's going to give you this new person. He will be an enabler that helps you. Now, why am I telling you all this other than to flex my weak Greek muscles? They are weak. Here's why. I want us to catch the emphasis that in his essence, the role of the Holy Spirit is a helper, an enabler. That's who he is. Now, that's really interesting in our culture because the word enabler actually can have a lot of negative connotation, right? It could have a lot, it could mean all the wrong things. But the basic definition of enabler is this: is a person who makes something possible. That's an enabler, right? An enabler. A person who makes something possible. Again, we often think about this in the negative sense. You know, hey, all those bad things wouldn't be happening if this person didn't make them possible to happen in the first place. But it is actually the complete opposite for the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to do every good thing, to the point that we could not do a single good thing if the Holy Spirit didn't make it possible. The Holy Spirit is an enabler for every good thing. Put it this way, the Holy Spirit is the person who gives us the power and passion to live out God's will. He's the enabler of that. He gives us the ability to have the passion and power necessary to live out God's will for our lives. As one author put it, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do all and to be all that God has saved us to do and to be. The Holy Spirit is the person who gives us the ability to do all and to be all that God has saved us to do and to be. It's the person of the Holy Spirit who empowers you to love and obey God. You know what's great about that? If you're coming in today and you're feeling like, man, I stink at following Jesus. Or two, this whole God-honoring life thing seems impossible to live out. I have two pieces of encouraging news to you. One, you do stink at following Jesus. So do I. And two, it is impossible to live out a God-honoring life. Naturally. You see, the Holy Spirit, he's the battery that powers our spiritual life. To put it another way, the Holy Spirit is our spiritual oxygen. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual oxygen. As far as I know, the only person, other person in my family line who was a preacher and a pastor was my grandpa. He was a little man, little bald man with a big voice. And in his final few years, Grandpa had to take oxygen with him wherever he went. So if Grandpa's preaching, the oxygen tank was beside the pulpit. If Grandpa was taking a nap, the oxygen tank was beside the bed. If Grandpa was going to the park, he knew that he, the dog, and the oxygen tank were all going to the park together. Because Grandpa knew that to neglect his oxygen was to neglect his life. And if ever there's a moment where he struggled to breathe, his first move was to put on his oxygen, to put on his oxygen. Some of us here right now, we have been going days, weeks, or months without our spiritual oxygen. We've been trying to follow Jesus, trying to experience the peace that comes from God without breathing in the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here today and you're experiencing paranoia spiritually, maybe it's been a while since peace has really ruled your heart. Maybe lust or jealousy consumes you. Anger controls you. Maybe pride is destroying you and the relationships around you. Then I encourage you to put on your oxygen, because the only way that we could follow Jesus and be who we are made and saved to be is to allow His Spirit to empower us to put on our oxygen. He is the battery that powers our spiritual life. So the Holy Spirit gives us the full power of God. And not only does He do that, but the Holy Spirit gives us the presence of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the divine power we need, and the Holy Spirit gives us the divine presence we need. Now, back to the crucial conversation Jesus is having with the boys that night. Poor guys, just trying to process. And He's explaining to them that He's going to be leaving and someone else will be coming, but this is not going over well for the fellas. Because here's the problem. This group is not like the Jonas Brothers, where it takes three people to make a band. By the way, that's as much as I know about the Jonas Brothers. I had to Google that, okay? Jesus is the reason for every good thing that this group has experienced, right? He's the reason for, he's the leader of the group. He is the group. And so when He leaves, that is a really big deal. Talk about losing the face of the franchise. This is a huge problem for the disciples. And here's their main problem. The disciples feel that by Jesus leaving and the Holy Spirit coming, they are being left alone to walk out their spiritual journey alone. And I think some of us can relate with that. For example, you ever had those moments where you kind of just think how much your relationship with God would change if Jesus was like literally in the flesh, right, in the body next to you? You ever thought about that? Man, it would change a lot. For Jesus to be literally physically with you, I mean, to no longer have to ask Google questions, but you could ask Jesus. It would take your relationship with God from like feeling like a silent film to an IMAX 3D experience instantaneously. It'd be a huge upgrade, but that's the exact problem, the misunderstanding that the disciples are having. Because by Jesus leaving and the Holy Spirit coming, we have not received a downgrade. We, in fact, have received a major upgrade. Jesus says to the disciples that night, He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. In all likelihood, Jesus here is referring to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. And it is a really big deal. And here's something worth highlighting. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Tyler actually preached on this a few weeks ago in our Wave series, but when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they show no signs of disappointment. No one's asking about return policies, you know? Holy Spirit comes and they're like yelling, like there's like tongues of like fire and like wind in the house and stuff. No one's like, hey, do we have a receipt for this? Is it 30-day policy or 90-day return policy? Because this thing stinks. No one says that. Instead, the disciples believe and experience to be receiving the full presence of God. And if anyone knew what the full presence of Jesus was like, it was the disciples. Think about it. For 3.5 years, those guys walked, talked, hung out with Jesus, ate with Jesus, debated with Jesus, Netflix binged with Jesus. They did everything you could do with Jesus, literally, physically there. But when the Holy Spirit comes, they show no signs of disappointment. Why? Because they believe and have experienced that they have received the full presence of Jesus. They have not been shortchanged. They knew the real deal. They knew what it was like. They didn't have to wonder like us what it would be like for Jesus to be literally and physically there. They knew the real deal, but when the new deal comes, they believe they are experiencing the full presence of Jesus. Put it this way. The presence of Jesus is with us now just as much as he was with the disciples 2,000 years ago. Through the Holy Spirit, we still have the same Holy Spirit the disciples did. So the disciples believed that they were experiencing the full presence and power of Jesus then. We still have the same Holy Spirit today. So because of that, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us now just as much as he was with the disciples 2,000 years ago. So put it this way, you could be thinking, yeah, the problem though is, Chad, I still think the way that I interact with Jesus is pretty different than how the disciples interacted with Jesus, right? In flesh and blood, 3.5 years, doing real life, eating, sleeping, hanging out, debating, Netflix binging. That's pretty different than how I interact with Jesus. And if you think that the spiritual presence of Jesus now is different than his physical presence, then you're right. In fact, not only is the spiritual presence of Jesus different now than his physical presence then, but Jesus' spiritual presence now is greater than his physical presence then. Because he tells the disciples earlier in this conversation, he says, you guys will do greater things than me. Why? Because Jesus could only be at one place at one time with a select amount of believers. But now as the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus, the full presence of God, can be at all places, at all times, for all believers, and they can have access to all of God. That is an upgrade. That is a huge upgrade. Put it this way, the Spirit in us is better than Jesus beside us. When it comes to the presence of God, we have all the minutes. We have all the channels. We have all the data. We have the strongest cell signal you could possibly want or need when it comes to experiencing the full presence of God in our lives because of the Holy Spirit. We have not been shortchanged. The Holy Spirit gives us the full power and presence of God. So, how do we experience him? How do we experience the Holy Spirit? First, ask the Spirit to fill you. Ask the Spirit to fill you. And know this, that the answer is always yes. That's great when you know that. Jesus says, if you then, though you are evil... Thank you for the reminder. We put the fun in dysfunctional, all right? Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the answer is always yes. Maybe today you're going to ask for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to come in you and change you for the very first time because maybe you've been holding off, you've been counting the cost, so to speak, and you figured you weren't sure that you had what it takes to follow Jesus. You don't want to make a commitment and then fail. But I hope that you're encouraged today to know you were right. You absolutely have no chance of following Jesus. I hope that's one of the most life-changing things you could ever, will ever hear. The Spirit of God can change you. God can change you. He can pull the weight for you. And so if you invite the Spirit into your life today to become a member of the family of God, the answer is a heck yes from God. Now, others of us, we put our faith in Jesus. The moment we did that, we received the Spirit of God. But to receive the Spirit of God and to actually allow the Spirit to fill us and guide us, those are two different things, right? Right? You might have a spouse, but it doesn't mean that your relationship is great. Okay? And to have the Holy Spirit and to interact and to be guided by him are two different things. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. And the mountaintops experiences and the valley experiences and all the mundane things in the middle, in the car, bored at a meeting, frustrated with the kids, watching them play sporting events, okay? We constantly need to ask the Spirit to fill us, knowing the answer is always yes, which is so cool. Second thing, ask the Spirit to fill you. Give the Spirit a chance to speak to you. Give the Spirit a chance to speak to you. At least twice that I see in the Bible, alcohol and the Holy Spirit are used as a like compare and contrast. And so Paul says here in Ephesians, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How does someone get drunk? Asked nobody ever. Well, you get drunk by taking in alcohol, an excessive amount of it. Parents, don't worry, I'm landing the plane there. But that's how. So how do you get drunk on the Spirit? How do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, by taking the Spirit in. By taking the Spirit in. This whole series, Powernoia, we've talked about the discipline of giving the Spirit a chance to speak to us, right? Of that Sabbath rest kind of attitude and lifestyle. And so to summarize this application here of how can we experience the Holy Spirit? Well, pray and drink. There's an application you didn't think you were going to hear today. Pray. Pray for the Spirit to fill you and drink of the Spirit. Pray for the Spirit to fill you and drink of the Spirit. Take him and give him a chance to speak to you. The late theologian A.W. Tozer once said, every person is as close to God as he or she wants to be. And that's because through the Holy Spirit, God is as close to you as he can be. The Holy Spirit gives us the full power and presence of God. But what gets in the way of us experiencing the Holy Spirit? What gets in the way of us moving out from our powernoia to being power-filled? A couple things. Comfort. Speaking for myself, I often fall into the trap of expecting the Spirit to speak to me as I continue to operate within my comfort zones. You know, kind of like, hey, if you want me, I'm over here doing my thing. But what if the Holy Spirit asks me to step out of my comfort zone? The Holy Spirit is never going to ask you to do anything that contradicts the character or word of God. But what if the Holy Spirit asks you to avoid the rush of busy and take the time to have a conversation with that person who stopped you in the store? What if you offer to buy groceries for the person who you see while getting your own who might need some as well? What if the Holy Spirit asked me to give away more money than I wanted? I hate that one. My wife loves it. What if the Holy Spirit led you to step out of an unhealthy relationship that you're in? Or to pray for coworkers or colleagues on their turf outside of the church? One of the names for the Holy Spirit is Comforter. You know why? Because he's going to ask us to become uncomfortable. He is. Because that's how we grow. And that's how we can experience the Spirit of God working through us. Let's not allow us to miss out on one of the greatest feelings of the world, of the Spirit of God to move through us, because we choose comfort. Instead, let's rely on the Comforter to take care of that for us. Second thing that gets in the way, another barrier, noise. Noise. Tyler did a great job last week speaking about how God does not make a habit of competing over the noise in our life. We've discovered in the series the attitude and lifestyle of Sabbath rest, right? To kind of battle this. Sabbath rest maybe in a daily discipline or a weekly discipline of taking a Sabbath. Maybe in your discipline, you don't feel like you need to go a prolonged period of turning your phone off because your phone's not inherently evil, but your email inbox is. I've been waiting all series to say that. I didn't care where it fit. I just wanted to make sure it got there. Because from firsthand experience, maybe we need to move away from our inbox of neediness from others and give God a chance to speak to our soul. Comfort and noise. See, I don't want to fit God into my schedule. I want to prioritize God in my schedule.
so that I can operate from a place of peace, a place of rest, to live with a full battery. The Holy Spirit gives us the full power and presence of God. He serves as the battery that powers our spiritual life. This series has been so meaningful for me personally. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, of learning what it looks like to have a discipline of rest in my life so that I can operate from a place of peace and stability and not burnout or fatigue. And in my reading a couple weeks back, I stumbled upon something, that a paragraph that really stuck with my wife and I, that really moved us. And I want to share it with you today. It comes from a guy named Mark Buchanan. He writes this: one measure for whether or not you're rested enough, besides falling asleep in board meetings, is to ask yourself this: how much do I care about the things I care about? When we lose concern for people, both the lost and the found, for the bride of Christ, that is the church, for friendship, for truth and beauty and goodness, when we cease to laugh when our children laugh and instead yell at them to quiet down, or weep when our spouses weep and instead wish they didn't get so emotional, when we hear news of trouble among our neighbors and our first thought is that we hope it isn't going to involve us, when we stop caring about the things we care about, that's a signal we're too busy. We have let ourselves be consumed by the things that feed the ego but starve the soul. Busyness kills the heart. These are the symptoms of paranoia. But one of the great benefits of being filled with the Spirit is that by believing that Jesus is fully present in us, we then can be fully present in the situations he places us in. We can make sure that the noise doesn't drown out the voice of God. We can have the awareness to see the opportunities that we need to step out of our comfort zones, and we can refuse and choose to not let busyness rob us from being present and taking in the things in our daily life that really do matter. There might be paranoia on the outside, but we can experience being power-filled in the inside and no longer living off of a dying battery, but instead a divine battery, the person of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the full power and presence of God. Across all campuses as one church today, we're going to sing a song together called Surrounded. And as two main lines, this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Your life is not some type of snow globe. God is not distant from you. Because of the Holy Spirit, you have the full power and presence of God in you, which comes by faith. This is how we fight our battles, by knowing that we can't, but He can. And when it looks like we're surrounded, and when it looks like life is caving in, we choose to believe that the Holy Spirit gives us the full power and presence of God, and that we have everything we need to fight our battles. We are no longer operating from a dying battery. We are operating from a divine battery, the person of the Holy Spirit. So, church, across all campuses as one, let's declare this truth together.